I knew that I would, yo. I feel good. Anyway, go.
Hello, and welcome to another Goddamn Fangirl with me, Hannah Briley, a self-proclaimed fangirl and band photographer.
Smashed, didn't they? And me, Elle, I'm just here because I've been told I have a face for radio.
Touché.
Thank you.
It was funny.
Go on.
The other day, I went into fueled up my car.
Good job. Yeah.
Thank you. I know. Adulting to the full. And the guy behind the counter, I went to pay and I went, oh, can I pay for number six? Whatever. And he goes, whoa. I was like, what? He was like, your eyes. And I was like, what about them? He was like, you've got the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. And I was like, thank you.
Oh my God.
It's a fucking mess, but it's chill.
They can't tell under that mask though, can they?
No. I mean, I would say my best features, probably my eyebrows and my eyes. So I love having to wear a mask.
Hides my double chin.
Hides my round face. Like, hides me, you know, everything I'm a little bit insecure about. And then I'm just like, all mysterious. Like, ooh, look at my sexy eyes and my eyebrows.
I do love the air of mystery about you when you wear a mask. I think that's great. I am upset though because I think great from the nose up. And my nose, I would say, is my most my feature that I'm most proud of because it was man-made. but I have to cover up the good bit when I wear a mask. And then also, the mask that I usually wear is one that I've made, and there's like a seam like right in the middle, so it like hits my nose. And when I wear it for ages at work, I get like a little dent. So I'm not sure if that's going to fuck up my beautiful hand sculpted nose.
I mean, unless your face mask is so heinously tight, I don't think it's gonna change the shape of your nose.
I think you're right. It's not tight or anything, so
no.
Okay,
but unless your nose is like that loose,
malleable.
I don't know what the word is. Malleable. That's it. That's it.
I don't think it is, but it's just one of those weird things that I get concerned about. So.
Yeah, vibes. But one thing I have learned not to do in a mask, or at least don't do before. No, chew gum. Don't chew gum and then put a mask on, because holy shit, it burns your eyes. Like, it just hurts. I've done it a few times. And like, so I just chew gum in the car and then put my mask on. I'm like,
Another thing you don't want to do in a mask. Basically, you just don't want kind of strong smells near your mask when you leave it in the house and then you go to put it on, because I left mine like right on top of a unused wax melt that was like a lavendery smell, which I'm super into, but it did burn my eyes when I put the mask on. It was very lavendery, and I got in an Uber and I was like, I'm about to fall asleep, because this is like, it's warm in the Uber. There's like the motion of the car was kind of like rocking me to sleep. Okay. And then I had the lavender as well. And I was like, I've got to go and do things. But I can't.
No. I hate the smell of lavender. Have I told you this before?
You have.
Oh, yeah.
That's me. Like, you have a tragic backstory about why you hate lavender as well, don't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it still happens. So like, I've always been a shit sleeper, so my mum just used to smother everything in lavender, right? Everything. There's no need. So to the point where I can't smell lavender now. And for Christmas, the saga continues, because she got me these little three sleep things. She was like, oh, try them. They're meant to work really well. And it doesn't say lavender on it anywhere. And I sprayed it and I was like,
oh, no.
I want to die. So
I'll take them.
Yeah, so now I just take sleeping tablets and it knocks me out.
That's good. Get some calm down, yeah. But I like lavender. I think it's all right.
Yeah.
What have you been up to then, mate?
I've been working. That's all I've been really doing. I bought myself an exercise bike.
Oi, oi.
because I don't want to go back to the gym. To be quite honest, I would rather stab myself in the eye.
The gym is, in fact, a terrible place to be. If you want to find like a cultural melting pot of toxic masculinity, then go to the gym.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, everyone from every walk of life that has been toxically masculinized, they're right there, staring at themselves in the mirrors and making really inappropriate grunting noises. So,
but I just don't like going to the gym because I am an embarrassing person, right? I do embarrassing stuff. And it doesn't matter if I do that in my own home. So, like, I remember going to the gym once and I can't remember what I was doing, squats probably, and I farted, right? And I knew I'd farted and I had my headphones in, so I didn't know how loud it farted. And I was so scared to, like, open my eyes. He was looking at me to the point where I almost didn't open my eyes, just kind of like got all my stuff and left immediately. I was like, don't need this judgment in my life. I have fallen off treadmills.
Oh,
not here for it. Like, no. I just make an absolute tit of myself. So why not? If I'm going to make a tit of myself, I'll do it in my own home where no one can see.
That's good. I remember when we went to the gym together for a little bit. Like a 2-3 month stretch really did that, and that was nice, mainly because I don't really know what I'm doing. I have absolutely no initiative whatsoever when it comes to working out and, you know, treating my body like a temple. Fuck that. So so when I'd go with you, I'd just kind of follow you around and I'd be like, what are we doing now, Ham? He'd be like, I'm gonna do this. I'm like, I'll do it too.
It's like the blind following the blind. Like, yeah. I don't have a clue. Let me fool you with me Apple Watch and me trainers. Like, I don't have a clue.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, I also bought some weights as well.
That's cool. I'm going to pop it. I like the weights. I like feeling strong. But I don't need weights anymore because I carry very heavy things at work.
And I also walk
20,000 steps every shift. So
I mean, that's all you got to do. Move a bit more, carry some things.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I'll feel more fit when I'm, like, obviously back out and work and walking around a lot. Like, I find myself walking around more.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just going to end up drinking a lot more.
Yeah. You're getting ready for hot girl summer.
Yes. Totally getting ready for hot girl summer. I'm here. We're not going to be able to do anything for it except sweat to death on my balcony, but...
Yeah, I'm still down for that. I feel like your balcony is good for probably be good for some like Instagram photos and stuff.
Sure. We can make it look fancy. You know, like on TikTok where they go, oh, I bought some cling film and I made these really cool photo shoots.
What? You know? What do you cover yourself in cling film? Why would you say cling film then? Did you mean tinfoil?
No, because if tinfoil had the texture of cling film, what would it be? Because it's that.
Oh, like cellophane.
Yeah, but like tin foil, like shiny.
Shiny,
but
has the shiny texture cling of film.
Is that a thing? I think it's just more of like a foil. Maybe it's a foil. I don't know.
It sounds like a foil or some kind of
like you know when you're in at a party and you have it on the wall and it like reflects and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like a fabric or something, I think. You can get a fabric like that. We'll get a fabric like that and we can do your weird space photo shoot. Well, I honestly don't know what you're doing. I can't imagine it in my head. But I really want to just walk into it blind and be like, all right, what the fuck are we doing?
We've got lights like, now and stuff.
Yeah, well, I just want to see like your entire flat covered in this substance.
Did you ever do that to someone at uni, like wrap their stuff in tinfoil because you thought you were hilarious?
No, I was a nice person.
I did that.
No, we did once that we had a flatmate in first year who was really gross and terrible. I hated him so much.
Hi, Josh.
It wasn't Josh, that's me. No, it was a terrible person that we don't talk to anymore because he was a wanker. But when we were trying to be like jovial, like all together, like all be mates in the flat, like mates that also live together in a flat, flatmates. We got some clear bin bags and like duct taped them to his door so that when he'd open his door, he'd like walk into it and say, oh, that's great. Hilarious. And he got really like aggy about it. And he was like, why would you do that? That's such a waste of a bin bag. And I'm like, well, I mean, we didn't cut it or anything. Like, we'll still use it.
Yeah.
You don't care about the environment, Bertie. His name was Bertie. Bertie, if you're listening, suck my dick. Bertie.
Yeah. There was not a similar story at all, but a funny story. So when we all moved in, I was like, right, flat, let's play drinking games, let's make friends, because we're flatmates.
So live in a flat, flatmates. Yeah, flatmates. It's what you do,
So we were playing Never Have I Ever, right? Whatever. And there was this girl who just wasn't, once she didn't want to drink, and I was like, oh, fair enough, you do, you. I'm like, no judgment here. But she like wasn't joining in at all or anything, and you know, we were all getting quite drunk and getting quite intimate quickly. Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, were you finding out about people?
You're playing You're playing Never Have I Ever. It's going to go downhill, and it's going to go downhill fast. Like,
yeah. So she went, guys, I'm not gonna play anymore. And we were like, oh, okay. She went, I'm a Mormon. I was like, oh, okay. Why did you? Okay, I'm sorry. Oops. And she didn't play. She, we didn't really talk to her. And then she converted another girl of the flat to join Mormonism. Yeah, no. And they just did church stuff. Like, it was very culty. It was a bit weird, but
yeah, wild. I mean, organized religion is cult behavior, is it not?
Mormons are just, I've seen Book of Mormon.
I've also seen it. I saw it with you.
Yeah, it's all fabricated nonsense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do have a friend who is a Mormon. My friend, we were friends, lost contact. But
okay.
I had a course mate. That's the word. A mate who was on my course, who's a Mormon. He's all right, yeah. But a lot of religion, just in general, I feel is very cool lady, you know.
I don't know. It's getting to the point. It's like, hey, look, if it makes you happy, fine.
I agree.
Life's too short. Do what you want. If it makes you happy.
My newfound religion. Well, if there was one like this, I'd probably be a devout whatever it is. If Lil Nas X created a religion based on his music video and it was like everyone's going to hell but like it's a party, I'd be like, do you know what, I subscribe to that, I'm into it. But he's not going to do that, so.
Well, tell you what, I've actually got a bit of a qualm about that song.
Tell me the qualm.
It's too short. The song's too fucking short. By the time you've got into it, it's already finished, it's gone. I can't listen to it 10 times over because, I feel like I want more of it every time it comes on.
Yeah, that's the what's it called? That's a good indicator of is this a good song? Is this a good TV show? Is this a good film? Like, if you want more content, then they've done a good job. As if they leave you wanting more, it's like a good dessert.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. If I'm eating a dessert, I want to feel sick to my stomach after I've eaten it. Like, I cannot physically put anything else into my stomach.
That's how I feel about that song right now. Yeah. But Lil Nas, if you're listening, please make an extended version.
We love you. Send us those Satan shoes.
Please.
Send us those stripper boots.
Honestly, just be my friend. Be our friend. Come on the podcast.
Yeah. You know, he's only like 21 or something.
Yeah, he's a wee baby.
He's my son, and I will protect him at all costs. Perfect little angel boy.
Anyway, so I don't know how we're going to segment Lil Nas to lines.
Hey, do you like or listen to Lil Nas X? Here's something completely different.
No, whoa.
But that you will also Lil Nas. What?
Well, Lil Nas X. X is technically two eyes.
Two lines.
Okay. Two eyes.
Let's start this from the top. Do you like Lil Nas X? Do you like symbolism? Do you like connections where connections probably shouldn't be? Have I got news for you? I don't know where to go from here. Lil Nas X, two lines. What else has two lines? The two eyes in the band Lines.
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 Yeah. So basically, we spoke to a band today called Lines.
Lines,
all capitals with two I's, because it's
funky, italic,
cool and fresh, and they're italic. Yeah. So we spoke to Layla and Zoe, and they were very, very nice, and they're our new best friends.
Yeah, and we love them. We love them more because they're from Manchester, and we were talking about all things Manchester, and we had a really good chat with them, and I think that you'll really enjoy them. So enough of our rambling. We'll let them speak for themselves. Mm. So here is Lines.
Hello.
Hi.
We all right?
Hello, are you okay? Sorry.
Yeah, good. You?
Yes, good, thank you. Zoe's just sorting something out.
Hi.
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 Hello.
You're right.
Sorry, yeah, I'm Layla. That's Zoe.
And this is Jack.
Oh, hello, baby.
It's in band uniform too, so we could have a photo with...
Oh my God, yes. You guys coordinated.
He's gorgeous. Sorry, he was just sleeping, so I feel quite bad for making him perform.
He's going to walk away now.
We know what he's... Every work meeting I've been in and a cat's walked across, I've just been like, I wish I had a cat.
Yeah, my sister has a cat and he, like, every time my sister's doing a work meeting or something as well, he'll pop in on the background or, like, climb on her shoulder and be like... Yeah, like shove his ass in the webcam, and she's like,
"Nice." Yeah. That's what I thought Jack was about to do because I woke him up. To be honest with you,
I've seen a few cat bums in the last 12 months.
To be fair, me and Elle both have dogs, and every time we do a podcast or anything, they're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Who the hell are you talking to? And why isn't it me?"
One of my colleagues has got like one that goes. And so we just think that there's a dead, like, sorry, not dead person, but like
dying.
Or a kidnapped person in the basement.
Oh,
I've never seen the dog. People are, I don't know, maybe.
So it's quite possible then, isn't it?
I think, yeah.
Should we call the police?
Should we? Yeah.
Yeah,
so probably.
We need to.
Maybe I should think around. Anyway, where are you two based? Is this a Manchester? Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. 0161.
Oh, God. Cool.
Are you guys in City Centre? Where are you guys at the moment?
Chorlton.
Chorlton. Very nice. Bougie. You've moved up in the world. That's how you know you've made it in life.
Yeah.
Well, City
Centre. Yeah. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Castlefield.
All right. Okay.
I'm in Fallowfield.
Nice.
That's where I started.
Is it?
20 years ago.
I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, yeah.
It wasn't 20 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't rough
as anything. Yeah. Well, I liked it when it was like rough pubs, and it's not like that now. So I don't know. No, that was like my era, was rough pub time. I like a rough
pub. Just a lot of students at the minute, so I'm still...
Was it like Queen of Hearts and that? Is that what it was called? Yeah.
Squirrels. And,
what was the one on the side that's now a restaurant? It was an orange pub. And there was two orange pubs.
I think that was Queen of Hearts.
No, that's
the Queen of Hearts was the church, and then there was one a little bit further down the road that was used to be called the Ram. And then I don't know if that changed to something else now. I have no idea. Yeah.
Grove was one.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Orange Grove. I'm not sure.
Jesus Christ.
Wasn't it? Was it?
Oh, I've got,
oh God, I don't know. Anyway,
in my memory.
The friendship in.
I've drunk so much since then.
Yeah.
It's a long, long time ago. Anyway.
Yes.
Actually, we're all located. We all know where we are.
Yeah.
We're in separate places, so that's all good.
Yeah.
Cool. I think Eloise has gone to fix her dog. This is what normally happens. She goes and it's just like...
The dog.
Okay. Yeah, the dog. The dead person on the floor.
Yeah.
Was that Prada?
Yeah, I thought he was scratching at my door, but he's downstairs. So I just have no kind of concept of space. So I thought I'd had to like let him in and chuck him on my bed, but he's fine. He's happy downstairs.
But going back to the dead people on the floor, of my favourite things that have happened in lockdown is, you know, when it's normal, but you know, the people that either have the really weird backgrounds or like put a filter on themselves and can't change it when they're in a serious situation.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, the highlight of lockdown.
Yeah.
My favourite thing.
The lawyer that put a cat filter on and who says, oh no, I'm not a cat, I'm a lawyer, it's okay.
That was one of my favourites.
Yeah. And I feel like that's happened really in the real, like, nope. To me, though, I feel sad. I want, like, a big, like, funny thing to happen. You like some blurring.
It looks like you have a proper sound person with you carrying a boom in your ass.
Yeah,
we're all very professional people.
Yeah. Should we get cracking with some questions?
Yes.
So we've already answered some of these, but who are Lines, and can you please introduce yourselves again, please?
I'm Layla, and I'm the drummer in Lines.
I'm Zoe, and I sing and I play guitar sometimes at the same time. I know.
Yes.
But yeah, guitarist and singer.
Yeah, and we're like a Manchester. I hope the cat was picked up then. We're like a post-punk list things. Post-punk band from Manchester.
Amazing. Yeah, there's probably quite a lot of influences, not just post-punk, but I think the nearest sound would be post-punk.
Yeah. And then what about the name? Why are you called Lines?
Because it's two eyes.
It's such a boring story. Like, you would, I really want to say, like, you know, it's some rock and roll night, and but it wasn't. We we were thinking of a band name and saw these really cool line shadows on a pub wall in Sheffield. It's so boring. And we were like, oh, look at those lines. And we were like, oh, Lines, that's a good name for a band. And that's literally it.
It was with
if you want to be cooler, we can make something up about, you know.
No, I think
so. Elle's really good at this. We've had a couple of bands that go, we don't know why we called ourselves this. And then Elle goes, all right, fine. I don't know. So go on, Elle. Can you work your magic? Why are they called Lines?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is Lines of Coke.
And dad and parents and family might listen to this, so
yeah,
it's not that.
Yeah. I know it sounds a really terrible cover-up story, but yes, it is a genuine story.
Trust me. And if it was a cover-up story, we'd come up with a better one.
And it was gonna.
There were some shadows on a wall,
and we thought they were nice.
Yeah.
And then we decided to
go on. She's got a better one.
Split the eye and make it italic. And that's why it became two eyes.
That's good. I've had
yeah, not a great story. Yeah,
no, just popped out at me. So you all met like however many years ago it was, while you were all working for the council, you know, like painting the lines on the roads.
Yes, I like it. Thank you. That's fair.
You called yourselves the Lines Gang. And then you got rid of the gang part because sounds better. And that's that. There you go. You can keep that.
But going back to the two eyes, that was actually, we can't credit ourselves for that, because that was Lisa, the partner of our original bassist, Steph. She did the logo, and she split the eye in two and did that kind of angled thing. And so that was why we ended up with two eyes, and it's become the bane of our lives forevermore because we're called, you know, one eye. And it's all lowercase, but actually, it should always be uppercase because it looks
Lines
crap otherwise. Yeah, shouting.
And also, Lines.
Yeah, the radio off and it's Lines.
It's quite Mancunian, isn't it?
Lines with two eyes. There you go.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. It's work on the road.
On the road. Yeah,
20 years ago,
sniffing cocaine. So. Well, no, it was a joke.
All right, cool.
I'll probably just edit that bit in.
Yeah.
Lose all
we
that
met on the road.
Don't worry, we're a family podcast.
Yeah, our mums listen.
Oh no, go for it. This could be the scandal that breaks us in a good way.
Oh yeah, let's plan it.
Not that it's going to be a scandal. For anyone, is it really?
No, not really. 240-year-old in Chilton discover cocaine.
That's it.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Like Florida, but all over again.
Oh my God.
So your latest releases were Sorry and On, which was November last year. Tell us a little bit of a backstory on that. What happened? How did you write it? How did it come about?
We wrote the songs in Ding's studio, didn't we?
Yes.
In Salford.
Mm. So we released our album, like, nearly 3 years ago, which is insane, and we finished recording it 4 years ago, so we're well overdue a new album. But so these two songs we wrote kind of after they were the first two songs we wrote and released, or not wrote, but kind of released and recorded, sorry, recorded and released, after when our second bassist Tamsin was with us. But we wrote them, yeah, in this studio we've been recording, rehearsing at, 6 dB recordings. And I don't know, we, like, they're very different in terms of one's quite straightforward and Sorry's a bit more intricate, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
But I think we just, I don't know, it was just the desire to just release something fresh and different and not quite what was on the album. And and we wanted something, like I say, that was kind of that kind of thumping kick drum, which has started our gigs for nearly 2 years now. And then something that just had a bit of, like I say, that Sorry is very, very different to anything. I think it's quite a lot of the stuff we've done before, isn't it?
Yes.
With the time change and the...
just all the drum parts.
Yeah. Well, that's the
okay. Yeah. So one of them's got a thumping drum, and the other's got
beat changes.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I think it kind of moved on from the album quite nicely as well, didn't it?
Mm.
And they felt like kind of, obviously they were fresher songs to us, but they felt more at where we're going to. And then we've written even newer songs now that just. We're just really pleased with, like, the progression that we're making, I guess.
Yeah, really, really excited. And, like, we've almost started recording the album and we've got, you know, a plan now to... We were meant to record it, obviously, last year and COVID happened and we couldn't do anything, really. So we're kind of at least a year behind on all of that, which is rubbish. And you can't... But, again, everyone's had everything kind of taken away. So, you know, we could have had it worse. So we're still healthy and everything, but it's really messed up our times. Yeah. So we just need to catch up as soon as possible and get in the studio and start like building this album. Cause I think we're really excited about what we've got. And we also don't want to, we've got into the trap before of like playing songs to death live until we've recorded them. And so we want to get kind of ahead of ourselves and try and write more and record as much as we can. So that we've got, like, you know,
it's hard, isn't it? Because that year was, we just played live all the time and had no time to record.
Mm.
And then the time we had downtime, like, we thought we were going to have downtime, not as much downtime as we actually had. We couldn't actually get out to record it. So, but we have, we've written some songs and stuff,
together, so. Either, which is a massive part of the process. Obviously, like, Zoe writes loads of the stuff, like, the majority of the stuff in terms of the music and music and lyrics. Awful film we watched. But we kind of like structure it and stuff together in the rehearsal room and things like that. So that's the part that's missing, which really kind of finishes a song, isn't it? And makes it something like you're really excited about rather than just having
parts. Oh, God, absolutely. Like, Layla's drums are so like amazing. She's definitely...
Didn't mean for you to say that.
Oh, right. They are though, and like if I've got like something, I write on acoustic guitar in my flat, and I have to be quite quiet because there's the walls like paper. Mm. So if I like take something to the studio that I'm quite pleased with, it's gone through quite a lot of
the neighbours.
Scorecards and then if it's like, and then Layla puts drums to it, it just like becomes alive, and it's just really cool. I love that part.
Yeah, you can miss the process of it as well.
Definitely make up the song. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's 50-50, anyway. Isn't it? It's 50-50. I can't be an acoustic person. So,
but yeah, so it's been, yeah. And the other weird thing about, sorry, you didn't even ask about last year. But
we love it. Last year.
Tell us the weird things that happened last year.
We got an amazing new bassist because Tamsin, our second bassist, wanted to focus on her own stuff, which is amazing, and we're really excited for her to do that, obviously. And we had an amazing 2 years, I think, with Tamsin, at least, maybe, God knows, I've lost track of time. And so we had Anna joined us in like February last year, and then we had to lock down as well, so again we've barely had that kind of adventure with her in terms of going out and playing places and stuff. But hopefully, we can start doing that now.
You did play with the North Will Rise Again, right? That was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
How was that, like, performing in a club with nobody there?
Like, performing in a place that we've wanted to, like,
play.
Because they recorded the bands at separate times
to fit in line with COVID.
Yeah. So it was secure, like headlining this space, but yeah, with no one there. it was brilliant.
It was weird.
You could hear a pin drop at the end of each one.
I really feed off crowds like myself, and it helps so much just to see one person's head bobbing along. Just went go yeah. But when it's empty, you're like,
you can't see that because of the lights anyway. Like we couldn't see anything.
But you would see someone.
All you could see was like a camera going. If I had one there, I could not elbow.
We don't need to explain exactly what we saw.
No, but that all we could see were, and also in the distance,
I saw you see yourself
a few seconds later.
Yeah, that was a bit.
So
weird.
That was like,
oh, that's creepy.
Trying not to look at it. So yeah, it was. But honestly, they did an incredible job. Like really, really.
It's just like playing to a really hostile crowd because there's no clapping or anything afterwards. So it's like playing to people. You can really get into your head
more than
that everybody hates you, and they're just like going.
You could kind of say that's like a rite of passage, though, for some bands. Like go to a venue and you play for a group of people that absolutely fucking hate it, you're all right.
If they're quiet,
it can't be as bad as that.
If they're quiet, you're onto something. It's when they're talking.
When they heckle.
Yeah, when you support bands and then people talk through, you're like, oh, okay, not tonight. It's not the one.
But even just walking around an empty venue was amazing.
Yeah.
Just like,
we went in the dressing room.
It felt such a novelty. Yeah.
The dressing room experience, which was amazing. Not that kind of one, but just it was, yeah. Going back to that.
What?
It was just wicked just to be able to get ready in a dressing room and then go on stage, play a gig, and then come off stage again, and then do the interview and stuff. It was a really cool experience, and like I say, they did a really, really cool job of the production and the quality of everything and the sound and everything. It was really amazing to be part of that.
It looked awesome as well. Like, did you get the chance to talk to the other bands at all, or was it they just completely keep you separate?
Yeah. And yeah, I think that was a good thing. Because I think, like, it's also, I think, to be honest, that would have been hard anyway, because it was our first full gig with Anna. Like, it was the first time we'd played a set from start to finish, because you don't get to do that in rehearsals, no matter how much you try. So it was literally our kind of final dress rehearsal was also like the first gig, because we'd never done it all the way through. So it was wicked to do that. It was really, really cool.
But it's also quite exposing and nervy because there's no crowd. You're kind of more exposed. There's no cover up or sort of back and forth if there's like a little mistake. So it felt like it had to be more accurate to the TV, and it didn't feel like you could be loose. I mean, I was on one of the last songs I made, one of our oldest songs in the set. I messed it up so bad. Really bad. Layla just burst out laughing.
My hair was just down this. I was just.
Anna was brilliant.
Yeah.
And first gig with us, and
so it's cool when you do gigs and obviously you have other bands there and stuff, and you kind of have chats and things like that. For us, not being able to do that was perfect for that, because I think, and also fucking hell, if the Charlatans were kind of, or in our dressing room as well, that would have been really annoying.
Yeah, we'd have to boot them out.
Yeah.
Like, get these groupies out of here.
Wanted a chance, wouldn't we?
Yeah. No, it was cool.
Yeah, it was. It was very cool.
Hello.
Not you. This is really the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah.
He's popped up, so he's taking.
Hello. Hey, how are you doing?
Oh my God, you're gorgeous.
He's very beautiful. He also doesn't give a shit about anything but himself, which I really respect.
Yeah, that's like a cat attitude. That's Jack's attitude.
He does live around two other cats when I go home to my mum. So he knows the drill. He knows
the drill. Cool, isn't he? He's very cool.
Good job. That's his guest appearance. Now he's fucking up somewhere. I'm just gonna go and try and eat my clothes or something.
It's when you see him run off with a bra in a second, it'll be hilarious.
I actually putting on knickers the other day.
You could show this on Instagram. That's amazing.
I put a video on my Facebook page of him. I caught him in knickers, fully wearing them. I don't know how he did it. But he had them on and he got stuck, and he was like doing this Michael Jackson moonwalk in the kitchen trying to get them off.
Yeah.
And he was proper wrapped in them around his back.
Oh my God.
I know.
They were clean.
Yeah, they were clean, yeah. But anyway,
You're just saying that, but it's fine.
You just have this like montage of Jack can say lines on your podcast this week.
I love it. I love it. I need that clip now. We'll put that up.
Yeah, we'll send it to you, definitely.
It's amazing. Sure.
So, but you guys are going to be playing a socially distanced gig as well. Is that right?
Fingers crossed.
Normal.
Yeah.
I don't know about socially distanced.
Because the roadmap's June and the gig's in September. So...
as far as we know, it's going to be normal, but it's hard to know, isn't it? We've got like the sooner things we've got are two festivals. So we're doing Kendall Calling and a Farm Fest, which is in Somerset.
But these and are in gigs, July so.
And festivals. So, but I don't know, there's still like thousands of people. So I'm still kind of, I don't know, keeping everything crossed, but I'm kind of almost not expecting them to happen until
it's over, I'm there in a field. It's over the distanced, social distance period, allegedly.
Still as in after, And so September, obviously even more hopeful, but it's indoors and, who knows what's going to happen. But I'm just, I don't know, I don't expect anything to happen really, but obviously we're plotting towards it because obviously... It was amazing. It was such a big buzz to announce some gigs. It was really, really cool. But they're not the Manchester one's on the 11th of September at the Bread Shed, which is our biggest ever headline gig. So it's a massive thing. Yeah, really exciting. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We might tend it socially distance if people are too.
What are you on about? Cut that.
Our biggest gig, innit?
Yeah.
No one comes.
Oh, good plan. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll be there.
5 meters distance.
Just to spread out the 20 people.
Maybe cut that out. Our promoter won't be happy.
So going back to Manchester, the best city in the world. What are your favourite things about the city?
Oh, do you know what? I think I'm a Manchester person, born and bred, and I'm so proud to come from here. I love living here. I love the city, and obviously the music is incredible. And I just the culture, nightlife. I just absolutely love it. I love the size of it. It's not too big, but it's not too small. And especially during like the last 12 months, I found so many beautiful local spaces, which I never would have done. I've been forced out to just go walking and exploring, and it's been amazing. And I don't, it's kind of changed me a little bit, I think, in just appreciating spaces. And I think Manchester's just, it's got so much going for it. And it's so amazing to see life coming back to the city, just seeing people on Facebook and, on social media, just being excited to be out and being those proud to be like to be in the city and supporting the local businesses again, and you can just sit on people's faces. It's just like, this is just I just hope it keeps going that way and the music venues can open and we can breathe some life into the city and get it pumping again, because the city's great, but it is amazing when the heartbeat's just running through it, and that's like everything together, everything just working the cogs together. And
I think it's got also, because I'm not from Manchester, I moved here 20 years ago from London. So like that whole thing of, like, I was obviously loved London, but like I grew up there, but I became an adult in Manchester really, because I came to uni here. And like the attitude that Manchester has is so fucking cool. And it's so I just think how it applies itself to like gigs and like club nights and really cool kind of just, I don't know, it's just really an innovative and exciting place to live. And like I was going to see like loads of gigs a week and going to see loads of films and going to kind of going out and, as a student at that point, it was loads cheaper to do that, but I was able to see loads of bands. And obviously it's just you can tell when bands are really buzzing to play in Manchester, and that means everything. I think that says a lot about what a cool place it is. And we have that with other places that we go to as well. And it says a lot about kind of how people are kind of welcome to a place, and how we don't have a kind of a wall that we put up, or a facade or anything. We're just who we are, and I don't know, and it's such a diverse place in terms of like characters as well as like other aspects of diversity as well. And I don't know, anyway, it's just a wicked place to live. And like, yeah, it's got so much going on in such a small place as well. To be able to kind of walk into town or whatever for within an hour is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Know, not that I've ever done that. I don't know why.
I haven't. it would be amazing.
Yeah. I was in town earlier and obviously like 3 days back into an element of normality, and it's just heaving. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not, I don't know. But it was just beautiful to be out having a pint in the sun. Mm. And the one thing, yeah, I really struggle with is the rain. But
when you get
being in like the North of Water or whatever, and just out in a beer garden, and just everyone kind of being really happy, it's just it's a magical.
Where did you go? What beer garden were you in?
I was just on Thomas Street, so it was like Cane and Grain, I think it was.
Very nice.
On that strip. I'd just seen so many photos of it. I'd just made a beeline. To be fair, we got there at maybe 10:45 in the morning and there was nothing out. So I went for a walk around town. I have not been into town actually properly for a year. I wish I'd gone in when it was like empty. I think that would have been quite a cool experience.
It was weird. Obviously I live in Castlefield, so I just take the dog for a walk through town, and you're like, it's so weird. It almost feels like an apocalypse film.
Yeah, absolutely.
I work in town, so I work near Stude Hill, so it's so weird not going there every day, or you know, at least a few times a week. To then not, I've been, I think, yeah, that's the first time I've probably walked around town, but I've only been in 3 times in a year. I've only been on a bus twice in the last year.
Great.
I'm just saying, it's messed up. And then, yeah, it's just nice to see it all come in.
To be fair, I wish I'd only been on a bus 3 times this year, because not a fan of public transport. Point,
no.
If I could ride a bike, I'd be on a bike. But... but back to kind of Manchester music scene, are there any bands and artists at the moment from Manchester or in Manchester that you're really, really excited about?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few, like Loose Articles and like Working Men's Club seem to be kind of coming out of, like, yeah, kind of taking massive like leaps forward. I suppose, God, I've been really, really shit in the last few.
It's been hard.
The last year,
it?
I think I've just gone into hibernation, literally and like musically as well. I think it's been really. So this feels like a massive get out from what your question basically. I've really struggled to not listen to stuff that I just don't know really well, because I think
you need comforts kind of, and security.
Yeah,
around
and some of it has been like almost back to pure, like shameless like pop as well, just to kind of. And just to kind of get my head
for work. I've done that with TV though. Yeah. Like I can't take anything new in because everything's just so unpredictable. I need predictability. Yeah. So
that's me again in a few months.
I think
I'm just about getting my head back into possibilities, but I think I've just become loose.
And I think not being able to do it yourself is, you know, when you want to do it is hard as well.
Going to gigs and stuff.
All sorts of things, writing and being together.
And chatting about new bands as well. I think kind of I think it's just, you kind of like learn through chatting to people, don't you? And it's think
absolutely playing gigs.
Everything's been a bit more, everything you've done in the last like years had to be organized. Nothing's been spontaneous like a chat or in a bar or anything like that, or hearing something in a bar, or
absolutely,
you know, or being out and hearing a song or something.
Just being on a bill with someone you don't know, or
exactly.
A festival, and being like, oh my god, these are
nice. But a few bands on the label that we like, Duck, with her from Sheffield, and Sink Your Teeth, who we played with in Manchester International Festival, from Norwich as well. So there's loads of bands that like we can't wait to kind of play again with and stuff like that. But
we will be more knowledgeable about our city.
Yeah,
we play a little bit old.
No, all right.
Shout out to like Vice Vera, who is Tamsin's like solo project as well. Mm. And I know she's got stuff recorded, and hopefully she'll get the chance to kind of get out there as well soon as well. So it's
because I completely get it. Like I've been rewatching the same TV, and I've been listening to the same albums and stuff. Like I'm sure, like me and Hannah have said this on the podcast like loads of times, but it's like you just need that little comfort.
You do. It feels like a small, like something you just wouldn't even think about, really.
It's weird because as well, like you think that having pretty much done the same thing, it's been a bit Groundhog Day-ish for the last like whatever, 300 plus days.
Yeah.
There's more than that. Yeah, I just, you'd think that you would want that diversity of a new stuff and just to be, I don't know, I've fallen into the...
I've done a bit of new.
No, like, I just...
I've dipped my toe in and then I've gone, no, I need something else. That was just
I just stopped doing so much. Like, I used to listen to podcasts and stuff like that all the time. And I just, I don't know, maybe it's just the lack of the commute.
Well, I think my concentration's so, like,
bad
that if I know, like, the story, I can half watch it and...
You know what's going to happen. Yeah. There's no big shocks. We have enough big shocks right now. We don't need any more.
Yeah. You know? If I'm on a bit of a down day and I want to have a little sleep while I'm watching it, I won't miss out on anything because I know what happens.
But if you lose control out of everything, why do you want to watch the same thing every time? That's what I don't get about my brain over the last year, or listen to the same
it's,
thing.
I think it's an element of predictability and a bit of control in a way, because you know what's coming, and because we don't know what's coming out there, we keep ourselves in a nice little
but probably safe for like bubble. A month I listened because they're doing this really intense work project. I just listened to this one Mogwai album and get on repeat from like 9 to 5.
You did that once with Veronica Falls and ruined them for life.
Drove me forwards, but I needed something that was instrumental and really, like, I don't know, it was really good. My friend thought.
Well, you've kind of already answered one of our questions. Our next round of questions, like, what's your go-to feel-good movie?
Oh, right.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, I'd say no.
I've got, I don't know if I have a feel-good movie. I have
or TV feel-good show.
Series. Yeah, I really love How I Met Your Mother. And I love it so much. And, you know, and I just like the fact that I would be sat and they'd be in a bar and I could feel like I was sort of there, and I felt really sad. But it was so nice to see people go to a bar, because it's sort of like, it's a grown-up friends, isn't it? And I think funnier myself. But and then I'd be like, oh, I'm hanging out with my friends.
Yeah.
And then just listening to the conversations, because obviously they can't hear me. That's been my my saviour, and maybe my downfall, I don't know, because that's how we're going to bars now.
I mean, it's just whatever gets you through, isn't it? Like,
exactly. That's been my what's yours been?
Unapologetically, no, it's not sad at all. It's RuPaul's Drag Race. I hadn't watched any at the start of last year, pretty much, I think. And maybe I'd gone into one, but yeah, I've gone through them all now.
Who's your favourite queen?
Oh my God, that's a really tough question.
I know.
And it changes from, I don't know, and also I forget them as well. But Shangela, definitely. Shea Coulee was amazing. I'm going, like...
That's a great name.
I was about to say, like, all-star winners, but... it's been a... that's basically been, like, the comfort. And maybe a few of the Spotify playlists as well.
Hey, that's fine, honestly.
Unapologetic pop. And shameless.
Nothing
pop,
should be you shouldn't apologise for things you like. No, that's true. I don't like.
To be fair, like, I've had to just be made happy, and the trash pop that RuPaul writes is just amazing. If you are ever feeling down,
well, as long as it's not mean,
that should be the end of this.
fine.
Blind recommendation. Oh my god! I'm so sorry.
We haven't really spoken. Many people in a year, so
completely understand. I've forgotten how to do small talk and everything.
And my friends are in the TV, so
my friend is here. This is it.
You're talking back. It's weird.
He doesn't talk. The dog doesn't talk back, and that's very concerning. So
yeah, I know what you mean. But you know, it's nice that they listen.
Yeah, I suppose.
He looks really spaced out. He does not look happy.
He's just chilling. He was lying on the bed, and then he jumped down and was like, "It's lap time." And I'm like, "Okay." Brilliant.
But yeah, so I think we're gonna be finishing up soon. So is there anything else? Is there anything else that you want to say? No, it's fine. We love a ramble.
Yeah, our podcast is very ramble.
It's hard, isn't it, to be like, you know, we're talking about being contained and having like no direction really for a year. It's hard to even converse in
Yeah.
Away from instructor
yelling at people. So yeah.
But like basically like the North Will Rise Again gig was a massive thing. It was like it felt like a kind of rocket up the arse, be like, right, this is gonna happen. You're gonna be able to do stuff normally again. And it's really driven us forwards to finish writing stuff, to kind of booking recordings and to
record the album.
To, and you know, announce those gigs and everything. So I think we just assume everything's happening and we've got like hopefully a really exciting 18 months planned up until the next autumn. So yeah, just really wanna just get out there and hopefully it all happens. Everyone do what they're told and so we can get out of this hell.
No, everyone.
So and the date was September the Breadshed. September 11th for the Breadshed.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Wicked.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.
And hopefully meet you for an actual pint at one sort of point. Or
we'll get you a pint.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Make sure to follow us on all of our socials at Another Goddamn Fangirl on Instagram and at Goddamn Fangirl on Twitter. We also have a Facebook. Thanks to me and Hannah for writing the question. Thanks to Pippa for editing all of our shit together. And thanks to all the bands that we have on our podcast.
Right, happy? You're going to go for a nap now.
Me?